All right, so let's talk about this for a little bit. I mean, either he's blowing smoke or trying to—who knows what he's doing? But Trump is saying he wants a third term. In fact, the news media have reported that the merchandise is out there and it's available. If you can go to the Trump website, for $50, you can get a Trump 2028 hat. $50 for a hat? Wow. Okay. You can drop $36 for a shirt that reads Trump 2028. So, I mean, Jeffrey and I talked a little bit about this, but the 22nd Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, that was adopted back in 1951. It took a few years to get it done, but it was in response to FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, holding the presidency for four terms, although he died in the fourth term, so it was really three plus a bit. 3 plus 11 weeks, I think. But there were several previous presidents that tried to gain a third term, Ulysses Grant and Teddy Roosevelt, someone else, I think. But they failed. FDR was the only one to pull it off. And Republicans were at the forefront of the movement to establish the 22nd Amendment. There were some Democrats who agreed. You know, and again, there was a precedent set by George Washington way back when that, you know, 8 years and out. But of course, there were those who tried to, you know, finesse that. And the only one who was successful was Roosevelt. But now we have Trump basically saying that he already, only, what, 100 days into his second term, is already talking about a third term. This is deeply concerning. Anyway, if Republicans are consistent with their historical perspective on this, they'll be shouting no about this as well. Okay, so beyond the arrogance and hubris of, putting oneself in the position of wanting a third term 100 days into your second term, there's the incompetence of what's going on. I mean, you know, most of what I've seen Trump do, in my opinion, is bad. But he's also pretty bad at doing, he does bad badly. It's just, there's a level of incompetence that is, I did not expect this level of incompetence. And I'm wondering to what extent people who supported him are cringing at some of the stuff that's happening. I mean, take the federal grant freeze. Okay, that was one of the first things he did. First week of office. The OMB, the Office of Management and Budget, called for a funding freeze on literally thousands of federal programs. And that action, again, they wanted to freeze funds that had already been appropriated by Congress in a bill already signed by the previous president. You really can't do that. But it would have, you know, frozen funds for housing construction, for, you know, Section 8 housing. How are people going to pay their rent? Suddenly the money's not there to cover that. It would have also frozen funds for affordable housing preservation, for programs for the homeless. And that's just within the housing realm, okay? Basically ignoring the entire decision of Congress, who set that funding in motion. So 2 days later, what happens? Trump rescinds the memo. We're no longer going to freeze those programs. Okay, so what were you thinking in the first place by doing that? I mean, again, there's a level of incompetence here that is astounding. Now, I have no doubt that some of those programs probably need to be reviewed and audited, and maybe there's even some that need to be eliminated. Maybe there's some that need to be expanded. That's a legitimate conversation to have through the appropriate processes. And, you know, I know that takes time. You know, this is not a business where you can just click your fingers and everything happens according to the person in charge. This has to take some time. It's how democracy and government works. So, you know, also on the table back then were farm programs. So, you know, tens of thousands of farmers and organizations that work for farmers, that advocate farm policy, they're kind of in limbo now because of the federal freeze. Now, unless I've missed something, my understanding is those programs are still frozen. The funds for those programs are still frozen. And we're talking about the Regional Energy for America program. What else? The Conservation Stewardship Program. The Environmental Quality Incentives Program, Regional Conservation Partnerships. We could talk about each one of those in detail. I'm not going to bore you with that. But anyway, pausing these programs, and again, in some cases, in most cases, you know, in the middle of their funding cycle, that's hurting farmers. It's hurting farm families. It's hurting rural communities. It hurts ranchers in the parts of the country where we have ranchers. You know, and I would assume that it is causing people who voted for Trump to think, well, this is not what I wanted. This is not what I expected. This is not helpful. So on March 11, again, these cuts were in place earlier. On March 11, there was an internal USDA document that confirmed the USDA's review and withholding of grant contracts. And some of the reasons given were that it was based on the inclusion of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion stuff in the programs, and also the horrible, destructive, terrible woke thing called environmental justice. So, you know, and that also affected other programs like local food for schools, child care cooperative agreement, local food purchase assistance, cooperative agreement. I mean, I can go on and on about these programs. So last week, just the middle of April, last week, Judge Mary McElroy, she's with the U.S. District Court, federal judge, she ordered the Trump administration to take, quote, immediate steps to reinstate funding that had already been approved by Congress through the Inflation Reduction Act and also through the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. Again, an order from the courts. We'll see if Trump actually complies. He's supposed to have done that by now. And meanwhile, who's being hurt? Well, farmers, rural communities, Trump voters. You know, and if that's not enough to make rural Americans scratch their heads and say, is this what I voted for? Look at what's happening with disaster relief. So this is just in today, April 28th. FEMA has been ordered to cut funds and even threatened with being closed. And this comes as the agency is looking at tornado victims in Arkansas, what, 40 people killed in Arkansas? The flooding in West Virginia? Serious wind damage in Washington State? Still ongoing relief needed because of Hurricane Helene's devastating impact on North Carolina? There's all kinds of things. So let's look at Arkansas specifically. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, big Trump ally, his former press secretary, in fact. Her dad, former governor, Mike Huckabee is now the ambassador to Israel. And yet, despite all these connections to Trump, you know, they're seeing that federal aid to the people in, again, mostly in rural Arkansas, left homeless by these tornadoes and 40 of them dead. They're saying, nope, no federal aid, sorry. You know, Trump denied the state's request to declare a major disaster. So, I mean, Sanders had requested individual and public assistance. He told her no. She's appealing the denial from Trump. And I'll quote from her. She says, quote, Arkansas will face significant challenges in assuming full responsibility and achieving an effective recovery from this event. I have determined that the severity and magnitude of those storms exceed the capabilities of the state and affected local governments to respond adequately. As such, supplemental federal assistance is crucial. So I want to play what Trump had to say about this, okay?
FEMA has not done their job for the last 4 years. FEMA is going to be a whole big discussion very shortly because I'd rather see the states take care of their own problem. I love Oklahoma, but you know what? If they get hit with a tornado or something, let Oklahoma fix it.
Can I get a wow? I mean, that's how crass. I mean, people are used to having help from the federal government, which we all pay into. You know, FEMA has been there to provide assistance when these disasters hit, and states and local governments aren't able to address them. So Arkansas is as red as any state in the country. Well, maybe a little bit less so than Iowa. But, you know, really, is this how you're treating the people who supported you? You know, 40 people dead from a tornado. So what else? I mean, I could go on and on and on and on, but there was the accidental release of Social Security numbers when the JFK papers were released, And again, I'm glad those were released. I think they should have been released before. But you all the stuff that was unredacted, 400 people listed in those papers had their social security numbers and other personal information released. One of those was Joe DiGenova. I guess I think you say his name, Joe DiGenova, maybe. That's Donald Trump's former campaign lawyer. The guy is livid. He's been told, he and the other 400 people, those who were still alive, were told, no, don't worry, we're going to give you some new Social Security numbers. Really? That makes you feel good? Can you start all over again at age 80 or whatever it is? There's also the Nuclear Weapons Safety Program. I mean, Trump fired the National Nuclear Security Administration staff. These are the people responsible for, you know, overseeing the U.S. nuclear weapons stockpile, and suddenly they're out the door? Okay, well, they were hired back. Whew, good. Bird flu, same thing. Employees at the USDA who review outbreaks of bird flu were among the, and guess how many? 280,000 federal employees were fired in this effort. 280,000. And again, a bunch of them have been rehired, but you do that work before. You don't fire somebody and then say, I wonder if they're doing anything important, like managing our nuclear arsenal or like monitoring bird flu during a bird flu pandemic. The list goes on and on. I mean, aid for migrant children, student visas, 9/11 survivors. Yeah, funding to help 9/11 survivors was cut. Veterans crisis lines for those who might consider suicide was cut. I mean, the incompetence is absolutely astounding. I'm done venting for now, folks.